Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the first ever episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast. My name is Joe Stumpo. Alongside me is my good buddy, Mike Caliendo. And this is the Diamond Discussion's first ever episode. We'll be talking about Mets, Yankees, everything MLB. So, Mike, for the first night, we have a lot to talk about. Pete Alonso, the saga behind this whole Mets fiasco, him coming back, him not coming back. Did you expect this to go this way? Did you not see him lasting this long on the free agent market? How did you see this going down?
I'm going to be honest. This is more frustrating than Juan Soto, than chasing him. And obviously, you know, listen, that worked out for us. Great. But this is, like, ridiculous now. Like, I'm over it. And surprisingly enough, you know, in the past, probably not. But at least now, I'm actually on the Mets side here. I thought they gave him a fair offer last season, a 7-year, $158 million contract. I mean, between the guys making the top dollar at that position, and especially the way the market turned out for first baseman this year, I mean, he's extremely foolish for turning that down, especially now. I just don't understand where he's going with this, what market he's trying to create. I believe this is part of the Scott Boras effect. Overvaluing his talent. You know, he seems to not miss with his top guys, the Juan Sotos of the world. But his Pete Alonzos, his Cody Bellingers, you know, those guys somewhat in the middle. This turns into a whole drama saga every offseason now. And it's annoying. And you can't blame the Mets at this point for going to option B and, you know, starting to sign other players and move on with the offseason, because they have to. They have to field the team. You know, they're just signing Juan Soto does not make you better than last year. You know, I know they've made other moves in that, but you have to fill out your roster, and you can't let one player hold you up. And, you know, I know he has been exclusive with the Mets with a couple of things, but this is getting ridiculous now.
I agree with you. Me being a Yankee fan, so this is like an outsider looking in. I thought Pete was going to be a forever Met. I thought the first contract, like you said, the 7-for-$158, was more than acceptable. Do I disagree with Pete turning it down? No, because he bet on himself. But this whole second round of discussions and negotiations, he should have been a little bit more knowledgeable of the fact where the market was. And I think Boras really pushes these guys to think that they're better than what they are, or they're going to get that contract offer at some point. So, for example, you go 3 months of not getting the deal that you want, Boras is going to make you wait and really make you feel that you're going to get that offer. And it happened to Snell. It happened to Montgomery last year. We all saw what happened. They didn't get signed until almost after spring training. And it affected their ability, you know, early on. Can Alonso really afford to do that? No. I think he needs to be with a team, whether it's the Mets or somebody else, before spring training. And Boras is the type of guy that will make you sit and wait and get what you think you should get. But I agree with the Mets. They gave him 3 chances to make this right. He didn't come through. If you're the Mets, what else are you supposed to do? Like you just said, if you're David Stearns, you have a business to run. Well, you're not going to go chasing this guy. What has he done besides the home run record as a rookie? Not really much else to make you say, how many times can we chase you?
I get what you're saying, but he's definitely been a cornerstone piece of this franchise. He brings a lot of energy to this franchise. He brings a lot of energy to the team. He's a fan favorite. You know, to me, this could potentially shape up to be a Jose Reyes 2.0, where, you know, Reyes, difference because the Mets never offered Reyes anything. So him right. leaving didn't sting as much. It did, though. But Reyes, I think leaving New York hurt him in the long run. I don't think he was the same player. Do I think that could happen to Alonso? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's a problem. I think he fits in perfectly here. I think he thrives here. It's very similar to me. It's like you said, the Mets, I think, have been more than fair with their deals. And, you know, like we both seem to agree here, they have to address the rest of the roster. Now, I've seen some crazy takes that, you know, Yankee fans want to come at us now and say that, you know, look what the Yankees did for Aaron Judge. Their poster boy, their franchise guy and everything. You know, what is it going to take to be a Yankee? And that's fine. I respect what the Yankees did with that. But the Mets did the right thing.
Yes.
It's not like they didn't. So what does he want to do at this point? And as much as I want to blame Scott Boras for everything, because I think he hurts the game a bit, but I think this does fall on Pete a little bit. I think Pete overvalued himself just a little. The other aspect to that is he took a chance on himself, like Aaron Judge did. The problem is Aaron Judge hit. Alonso didn't. It is not the Mets' responsibility to make up for his mistake.
And the defensive game, you can't compare Judge and Alonso. I know two different positions.
No, of course not.
You have to take into effect account his defense is a little bit of a liability, and he does strike out a little bit.
Yeah, but, three watching for 90, him every day.
3 for 90 was more than acceptable. 7 for 58. That's more than acceptable.
Yeah, the 3 for 90, that was him to the Mets. And then the Mets countered with 3 for 70.
70, yeah.
Now, Alonso's offer was he wanted opt-outs in every year. The Mets was a straight three-year deal, which 3 for 70, 390, all right, it's a bit of a difference. I think both sides can maybe come in the middle there and, you know,
right,
maybe
like 84, 85.
3 for 80, somewhere in the middle there, maybe an opt-out after year two or year one, however they want to do it. I think there is some ground that could be made up and it's salvageable because I don't think they're out entirely. But they're pivoting and they're addressing the rest of their roster. They're, you know what, saying, you know what, fine. You go do what you got to do. Think about it. We want you back. You should know that by now. Let's figure it out. But we got other things to handle. So, and they did that. They re-signed Jesse Winker, and they went out and got AJ Minter. I liked both of those deals. Minter was on my list as a reliever that I wanted them to go after. I think this takes them out of Tanner Scott, which rightfully so. I mean, unless they want to go bold. I think they need another righty in the pen, realistically, if you really want to make it a shutdown bullpen.
I think Tanner's looking for like almost double the time. I think he wants 4 years.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I read something like that. Do I think the Mets are completely out? No, I think the Mets are in on everybody, and I think that's the Steve Cohen effect. But realistically, I think this takes them out of that. And, you know, I don't blame them for pivoting, you know, because there are scenarios. I mean, listen, if Pete Alonso's market was bigger and some other team was maybe more desperate and wanted to throw a ton of money at him, Alonso might not be in the equation anymore.
Right.
So you would have to move on. And what would life look like after that? So they still have a couple things they need to address. Now, obviously, they've been tied to Vladdy Jr. I don't think that's going to pick up any steam. I believe he put some sense of a deadline on Toronto that if he doesn't get a deal done by spring training, then he doesn't want to talk until the offseason. So if there's going to be any steam there, it's going to come after spring training starts. So we're
down the line.
Yeah, we got to wait on that. But so I'm over this.
What do you think the Mets do now? Do the Mets pivot and let's say Alonso's completely out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does Vientos go to first? What do they do at third?
Right now, that's what it looks like.
Is Beatty going to play third base?
That's the problem. I mean, you still have Mauricio in that mix, too. I mean, but he's coming off that knee injury, and he's still sort of rehabbing from it. Brett Beatty has just been basically a basket case when it comes to the major leagues, and I don't mean to talk bad on him because I want him to succeed. I was very high on him when he was coming up through the system. I really like him. I think he could turn around? Yeah, he's still young. But even with Mauricio and, you know, the flashes he showed for a brief time he was up in the majors, there are still question marks there. Vientos moving to first. He's got to learn a whole new position now. And defensively, he could potentially be a liability. You know, first base is not as simple as people make it out to be. The pivot, though, I mean, as of right now, the way the roster is constructed, that's what it looks like. What they do elsewhere, maybe bench moves. If they go out, maybe if Bregman, I don't know what his price tag is looking like at this point now. You know, they still have options. Do I really want Bregman? I don't think he's going to translate well in Citi Field. He's a good ball player, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if that really translates.
And he's another guy, 6 for 158, turned it down.
Yeah, you know, he's another one. And this is the Boras effect. I think this is becoming a trend over the last couple of years that I'm just not a fan of. I don't like it.
I think that the guys that are 30, 31, 32, when they get into free agents that they have to realize those 6 and 7 year deals are not going to be as prevalent anymore. Teams aren't going to throw money on a 7 year deal. They'd rather go short term.
But you have to be a complete superstar to get a deal like that.
And, right, and you got to be young.
And listen,
younger
as
than 31.
And listen, as much as Alonso has that swagger in him as a superstar, because he's a big home run hitter and all that, fine, he hits 230. You know, it's not like he's going out hitting 45 home runs or 50 home runs like Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and hitting 290, 300, 310. He's not doing that.
And he doesn't even have to. If he could hit 260, 270, he would have been signed a month ago.
It would make his case even better.
Yeah.
You know, and aside from a couple of big postseason moments, which were huge, and, you know, he came up in the clutch, would be even having this conversation?
Right. If he didn't hit that home run off of Devin Williams, I don't even think the Mets would have offered a second contract.
Because
he had such a bad stretch up until that point. Really.
Yeah, you know, and listen, for a player to have a down year and still hit almost 40 home runs.
Right.
That's, you know, that's a great sign. He is a gamer and he's a hell of a ball player. But
and he's actually very durable for a guy his size.
Yeah, surprisingly. You wouldn't think.
150 plus every year.
Yeah, you wouldn't look at him and say, wow, he plays almost every game. Like, you just wouldn't think it, but he is durable. And that's huge. That is a big part of his game, him being on the field.
Yep.
You know, what good are you if you're hurt?
Right. His first 7 years, I was reading 25 games. That's it. That's all he's missed.
Wow. That's impressive. That's impressive. It is. You know, you see that in him. He wants to be on the field. He wants to contribute. And I'm sure some of his struggles through the last season frustrated him more for the fact, maybe not his contract, but because he is a team guy. You at least that's what it looks like.
Right.
I'm not in that clubhouse, so I you know, it's only, I guess, speculation on my end. But
and listen, I'm not a Met fan. You are. When I see some of the Met games, obviously when they're playing the Yankees or just watching highlights, he looks like he's loved by his teammates in the dugout.
Yeah, and he's beloved by the fan base. He is beloved by the fan base. And, you know, the other side of that is he brings a lot of excitement. He brings a lot of electricity in his own way. And there are a lot of players on this team that do that. He's just a different version compared to a Lindor or maybe a Nimmo. He has a whole different element to that. You know, and as far as, like I said, like you brought up, the pivot now. Like I said, we got Jesse Winker. We re-signed him. And they went and locked up AJ Minter, which I think was, again, a great signing.
And it was you're taking him from a division rival who knows how to pitch in the division. So that's a good signing.
I saw that Minter holds the record for most holds as a reliever in Braves franchise record, history. So I thought that was...
And he had an under 3 ERA last year, so he's very reliable.
Yeah, very. He's a champion. You know, he's been there. He's pitching big moments.
Big moments,
you know, he's a big game pitcher. I love that signing. You know, me at this point...
he did very well against the Astros in the World Series. He did very well.
And, you know, I mean, for me, I would love a reunion with Ryan Stanek. I think they need another righty in the bullpen there. You know, I don't know if this is bold or not, but I would take two more righty relievers. I think some, you know, Ryan Stanek, like I said, I think he fit in great. His energy, he was great in the playoffs. I thought he brought a lot to the table.
I'm actually, I was telling you before we came on, I was surprised that the Mets didn't look at Canley. Just to stick it to the Yankees one more time.
Listen, but I don't even want to do that. You know what?
The Red Sox were looking at him.
Yeah, and Canley's a great pitcher. He is. And he's pitched all around baseball. You know, he's been with the Dodgers. He's been with the Yankees a couple times. Yeah, I like Canley. I think a Stanek Canley would be a nice, 1-2 punch in there, all, you know, to add on to the bullpen. I think it would be great. I don't know if they go two more pieces in the bullpen. I mean, you know, that remains to be seen. You know, because, listen, they're going to have to, like I said, they're in the process of this pivot, and, you know, we'll see where this plays. But I'm not completely lost hope in the fact of reunion with Alonso.
Right.
I'm just extremely frustrated that this isn't gone this way.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't want this. You don't want this to play out this way. You don't want things. This is where the business of baseball, it gets so ugly, you know.
Right.
But what drives me nuts is when, you know, a guy, I mean, maybe not so much for Yankee fans, because, you know, I've heard it all since the Soto signing. But, you know, when a player goes and chooses money, it's, you know, it's a business. And then when the team does it, you know, the team isn't being nice to the player.
Right.
It's a two-way street.
It's a double-edged sword. It is a business. Exactly, yeah.
It is, unfortunately, a business. And this is the ugly side of it. And, unfortunately, my team is dealing with it.
Right. And in regards to the pivot, as, you know, obviously, again, someone looking on the outside, I don't think the Mets should give up the prospects for Vladdy. I think they should wait till free agency, because I think the Blue Jays are 100% going to ask for Acuna. I don't see the Mets, it's not worth it for them to do that. Just offer him the dollars at this point.
I mean,
wait the year.
You could
pivot to 1 year, maybe put Vientos at first.
But the issue with that is he might not be there next year, because if Toronto resigns him. But if you trade for him
and you get a Juan Soto effect, like what happened with the Yankees. He came for 1 year. The Yankees gave up a lot, especially Michael King being one of those guys.
Yeah.
And he's a very good pitcher. I think maybe Steve Cohen's looking at the Yankees and say, this could happen to me. Even though the Mets already got their guy. Soto is their guy. Them not getting Vladdy wouldn't be obviously the worst thing in the world for them. They could pivot and do something else to benefit the team. But I think Cohen is still smart. He sees that the Yankees gave up a lot for a 1 year rental. For a guy who didn't re-sign, Vladdy may love coming to the Mets.
Oh, I think he fits in great.
He probably loves Soto. They'd fit together. Him and Lindor, that whole Latin effect. It would
listen,
be great.
That 1-2 punch of having Soto and Vladdy hitting behind each other 100%. Is insane. And then you throw Lindor, Vientos in that mix.
Right.
I think that could be incredible.
But that he could spurn, and you know, someone offers him $550 million. Maybe Cohen's not.
Without really, a doubt, but here's where I'm going to disagree. My issue with that is Cohen, I think, has maybe a personal tie to the Acunas, the Gilberts, these guys that he traded for, that he spent all this money when he ate up Verlander's deal and he ate up Scherzer's deal.
Right.
I think he has some maybe personalness to this. And I understand, you know, mixing business and pleasure is not, you know, you can't do all that. But my thing with that is I think he has these ties to these guys. And if he's going to give them up, whoever he's giving them up for, he's signing. I think it's almost maybe he doesn't come out and say it this time, but I will outbid everybody to sign this guy.
Oh, and we know that.
So
we know that.
I think it would be more personal for him to trade away and be okay with trading away the Acunas, the Gilberts. Now, I've seen a couple of mock trades that have been put out there, and it's highway robbery. I do every single one of them. And
on the Mets end, yeah.
Yeah, on the Mets end, hands down. I saw one. It was, oh my God. It was Acuna, Christian Scott, and I forget the other guy. Yes.
Oh, it was, I believe, is it Jason Jett? Is
his Jett name? Williams.
Well, Jett Williams. I don't know why I keep saying.
That was another one I actually saw too. But go for it. If I have full confidence in Steve Cohen. If he goes out and gets Vladdy, that he does re-sign him. Yeah, we have that fear that he could be one-and-done walk. I'm not crazy about the one-and-done walk thing, but with Steve Cohen as the owner of the team I root for, I'm a little more okay with it, because I think if he's going to trade for him, he's going to sign him.
Now, let's say they did that. The Mets trade for him, and he spurns and turns on them and signs somewhere else. You wouldn't be upset?
Of course. Of course, especially if the prospects pan out. You know, right. it's not so much like the Robinson Cano deal. You know, Jared Kelnick has not been the player that he was expected to be.
Right.
So even if
Bounced around.
Right. And even if Braves. Diaz didn't really necessarily work out, you look at that trade like, all right, that doesn't really hurt as much. You know, we would have held on to a guy that didn't necessarily work out. It'll hurt a lot more if they trade for Vladdy, he goes somewhere else, signs with Boston, wherever he ends up, and some of those, whatever prospects you gave up in that deal end up turning out to be good. That's what hurts.
Right. So as far as these other free agents, the top ones that are still available, you know, we got Alex Bregman, Jerickson Profar, Santander, Tanner Scott. On that list, I'm surprised that Santander actually hasn't signed with the team. It's pretty interesting to me. 44 home runs, over 100 RBIs. He did hit .235. So the average is a little low. He's not a great defender, But out of that list, I thought he would have signed with somebody. And I thought the Blue Jays were actually going to pivot and get him. And for some reason, it fell through. They just seem to can't get a big name. But for Santander personally, I was actually seeing that the Reds were interested in him. And they have a good young team. Yeah, if they landed a guy like Santander with that pitching staff, they could make some noise in the Central.
I mean, I think the Central's wide open because it's so weak.
It's so wide open.
You know, one of these teams should just go crazy. Yeah, go get a Santander. Go get another piece. Like, and they could almost run away with that division. I think,
and even with the Brewers losing Corbin, Burns, they still were right there.
Yeah, they were still right there. But, you know, now Devin Williams is gone. I don't know what they're going to do there. I mean, you know, obviously they got rid of Josh Hader a few years ago. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, aside from the Cubs, you know, getting
pretty resilient
Tucker,
in that division. They've won the division. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the Cubs, like, yeah, they added Kyle Tucker, but they also dismantled a piece of their lineup by trading away Bellinger.
Bellinger,
so
yeah.
It's not like the Cubs got so much stronger. I mean, I see that division being wide open. So,
and
I mean,
I'm hearing that they're actually looking to trade Nico Horner. So if they lose him, the Cubs,
what are they doing? I'm just lost. Like, I get they're trying to shed money, but then you're trading for Kyle Tucker.
Right.
You have hopes to re-sign him.
Who's going
to
want $450 million?
Right. You're arguing with him now in arbitration. I mean, that's not really the greatest first impression. I mean, what are we doing? They make no sense to me right now. I just think that whole Central Division, like you said, you're bringing a Santander into one of those teams like Cincinnati.
Yeah, they traded a guy in Bellinger that was making $26 million, but they also traded for a guy who's going to want 10 years, $420, $440 million. I don't see how they...
Yeah, I'm very confused. I mean, we'll see how that pans out. I don't know what kind of crazy offer the Cubs are going to come up with Kyle Tucker. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I'm very confused at what they're doing. I thought Kyle Tucker and a Cody Bellinger in that lineup would have been nice. I think they have a decent lineup.
Two monster lefties. That's
yeah. I think that's a pretty solid lineup. And you know they're trying to shed cash, but I'm so confused.
Very confused with what they're doing. But that division actually is going to be a surprising division to me. I think the Pirates are going to do well. The Reds, like I said, and obviously the Brewers are always there. Do we even discuss the NL West?
I mean, you know my pick for the NL West. It's got to be the Diamondbacks, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I like to think outside the box and say maybe their pitching holds up so good that they win the division. But I mean, obviously,
baseball is a funny game, man. Anything can
happen. It's a long season, so anything can happen. But Sasaki going to the Dodgers, I actually picked him going to the Padres. Just like I said, to think outside the box, I really thought maybe this one, with how everybody was talking, he wanted that mid-market kind of feel with, you know, not feeling like he was the main guy. Got a lot of guys in San Diego. You got, you know, Machado, Tatis. So
you got Bogaerts, you got Yu Darvish, you got Dylan Cease. Over there.
Yeah, you got other pitchers.
Cease might be on his way out, but
he could be, but he's still there. And you know, Michael King's fighting an arbitration; he's still there. But it was pretty crazy how the Dodgers came in and were able to get this guy.
Are we really surprised, though? Are we really surprised? The whole baseball world wasn't surprised. I think everybody that came out and said, like you said, the Padres. I was optimistic that the Mets were going to get him. I thought that. You know, his camp coming out saying that they were so impressed with Jeremy Hefner and what he's done with his pitchers over the last years. And, you know, that really resonated with Sasaki. I thought that spoke. And
as a Yankee fan, I knew he wasn't coming here.
My personal feel. I guess I had some fan bias in me and led that optimism. But in the back of my mind, how was it not going to be L.A.? I mean,
I think, yeah, I just think something is more attractive right now. I don't know if it's the Ohtani effect or if it's like the weather. I don't know what's going on.
They're close to home. You know, they're not far from Japan being in L.A. Yeah, I get it. You know, and listen, they've put together a great baseball team. How many MVPs, how many Cy Youngs are on this team? You know, they put together a great baseball team, and it seems to be that some of these guys, Tommy Edman, for example, he went there and he has flourished so far. So
yeah, that's true. But if they don't win, like I'd say, like two more,
it's gonna be so funny. It's gonna be awesome.
It'll be one of the biggest disasters in sports history.
You have that rotation now, arguably 1 through 5, and if they go 6-man, I think it's gonna be Gonsolin or May. We'll see how that works out, but. you have a 1-5 starting rotation that you can make an argument every single one of those guys could be an ace on every single other team.
Absolutely agree. Yep.
So, I mean, it's just, but like we said, baseball's a funny game.
Yeah, things happen. Is Ohtani is involved in that, and how much longer can he pitch? I don't think he's going to pitch more than 3 years. What is he, 31?
Yeah.
So I say by 34, the Dodgers are going to really think about maybe shutting him down pitching. I just don't think you're going to get the two-way aspect of him in the back end of that contract. I just don't. Well,
my thing with Ohtani, and I'm surprised that it's
Him going to first base when Freeman's deal runs out.
Could be possible.
It's, you know, less injury-prone position. I don't see him going to the outfield. You know, obviously he could DH. We all know that. But him being a starting pitcher is not going to...
Well, this is what I was going to get into. I mean, I don't understand why nobody's really talking about it. I'm, you know, surprised. You know, the effect of his contract could really blow up in their face. Not so much money-wise, not so much all the deferred money, none of that. The fact that they paid for two players, and they might only get one. And what I mean by that is these guys that have Tommy John surgery, especially after the second one, right, they're really never the same. The odds are not in his favor. And I understand that he's a freak in nature, and I understand he does it on both sides at a very high level.
But he's going into year two of this deal, and he hasn't thrown a pitch from the mound yet.
Right. And, you know, I believe it's most guys, if they last 4 years on a major league mound after their second Tommy John, I think really the only guy that's had major success, or at least you could say, like, all right, yeah, he's been good, has been Evaldi. Right. Rather than I know... But
these guys are actually... They're just pitchers.
Yeah.
He plays both. So he's got so much stress on his body constantly every game.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I applaud him for it. It's unbelievable what he's doing.
No, the fact it's that great.
He can hit 50 plus home runs, steal 50 plus bases, hit for average, and then win 10 to 12 games a year with a mid 3 ERA. It's unbelievable. But yeah, I do think it's not going to last.
I don't think so either.
He's got 2 or 3, maybe 3. You know, pitching years left in him before the Dodgers turn around and say, this is why we got all this pitching capital, because we know that you're not going to last the full 10.
Yeah, I think that's a fear of theirs, but you know what? I think they could afford it. You know, especially now, especially with Sasaki. I mean,
$6.5 million.
Realistically, they have seven or eight legitimate guys that could be in a rotation. Right. Legitimate guys. I know, Gonsolin and May are coming off injuries. May is still very young. And even now, maybe if they go six man until Ohtani is ready to pitch, you know, then Gonsolin and May maybe filter out the end of that rotation. And then when Ohtani's ready to go, maybe you move May to the bullpen. How effective could he be there? They have a lot of options there. So, you know, again, like I said, they have about seven guys that it could be serviceable all around baseball. And I think that's insane. And their lineup, really, they're true. Stacked. Listen, they are stacked. There's nothing. It is what it is. Yeah, like you
said, MVPs, playoff guys with playoff experience, multiple playoff experiences. You know, it's all around. It's going to be tough.
But you know what? The team that does take them down, it's going to mean that much more. You know, if you take down a Titan and a Giant like them, as of the way they are and the way they're built, you know, then you're a force to be reckoned with. And you know what? I think for especially the Mets, like being a Met fan. You know, I'm not trying to worry so much about what they're doing, because all I want the Mets to do is just build a good team, build a contender, build a consistent contender, be in the mix all the time. You know, you can't worry about what all these other teams are doing, because then when you maybe stack your hand to beat one team, the team that you're not thinking about, that's where they creep up and
comes
beat
out
you.
Of left field.
You know, yep. So you just got to, you know, stay your course, play your game, get your guys, build your team the way you need it. Build a contender and build a consistent one. And that'll be the end all be all, because the playoffs could be funny. A lot of things happen. So, you know, I'm not as much as I want to be optimistic, and I'm trying to be. But and you can't get mad at that, because if you're a Dodgers fan, are you going to be upset? Oh, my God, my team just signed another superstar? No. You know, and it's crazy.
It does put a lot of pressure on the organization to have to win.
Puts a lot of pressure on the players, but they just won, and they just got better.
I know.
They just added two monster pitchers, and they just won. How much pressure is there? I mean, it's going to be there, but they got all these guys have done it. They've won. These guys have won before, and yeah, I know the circus or the Mickey Mouse World Series that everyone wants to call 2020. Listen, somebody had to win.
It's true.
It is what I don't take that away from them. You know, they didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't their fault that COVID happened.
They were there in 2018.
Yeah, you know, and they've been in the mix for the last decade. You know, you can't get mad at 2020. Somebody had to win. And, you know, it just gave them more experience. It gave these guys more experience, and they all stuck around. A lot of these guys are bought into their system over there. They're, you know, you can't get mad at it. It is what it is. You just want your team to do it. And, it, you know, it maybe sucks for some of these smaller market teams. To me, I think the most pain has got to be up in Toronto, north of the border. I mean, it's not even a bridesmaid at this point. They just keep going to the wedding. They keep catching the bouquet, and they're never getting married. Just crazy. And I genuinely feel bad for them, especially if
they go on a few dates, and they never get a call back.
That's what's going on. And, you know, I genuinely feel bad for that fan base, especially if they lose out on Vladdy and Bo.
And listen, I'm not a fan of this guy, but I hear the taxes are brutal when it comes to the taxes out there, and that plays a heavy, you know, role in guys signing. But it's really crazy how they strike out on everybody.
Yeah,
I heard they offered Ohtani $700 million.
Yeah,
like they were up there.
Yeah,
and they just didn't get him.
Yeah, I mean, at least you know you were saying that about the Giants over the last couple of years, but at least they at least started signing guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're legitimately. Granted, I know they're in the West, but you know, if they're maybe a Pete Alonso and another piece away in their lineup for being legitimate. You know, so they're at least adding. I mean, Toronto, they're getting rid of the wrong players. They're adding. They keep going for defense. I don't understand why. They need hitting, and I don't know what they're doing. And it's crazy to me. You see, they offer Soto all this money. They offer Ohtani all this money, and they're hamstringing Vladdy a little bit. I think that's absurd. But
and they gave Hoffman $33 million for 3 years.
Which two of the teams...
just to appease the fan base. And the Orioles literally had an agreement with him, and his MRI was flagged.
Yeah, I think the Giants also did as well. And, you know, two teams gaffed on him, and you take him, and, you know, I don't know. I just...
Like I said, to appease the fan base, I think.
I don't see Andres Jimenez and Hoffman as being your appeasement to your fan base. I think they needed a little...
With the potential of trading Bo and Vladdy in the near future, which is pretty crazy because that was supposed to be their core in the AL East. And I was actually saying that it was going to be Yankees, Blue Jays to fight for the division every year over Baltimore, but the Blue Jays just never panned out to be that way.
No, and it's...
And their starting pitching was kind of the reason, too. They couldn't pan it together, really.
Yeah, they definitely had some issues. And, you know, I mean, for me, over the last 2 years, I would say the fan base I maybe feel the most bad for is definitely Toronto. I know they're dealing with it, but
they just can't land the big superstar. It's pretty wild.
You know, I mean, what's going to happen next year with Murakami when he gets posted? Is he going to be in the air in the plane on his way to Toronto, and then he's going to sign with the Yankees? I mean, it just keeps getting worse at this point. I mean, the next is going to be they're going to be at the press conference putting the jersey on the guy, and he's going to sign somewhere else. It's crazy.
It is. It is interesting to see that the next couple of years, the guys that are going to be available. As far as the Yankees, being a Yankee fan, we have a lot of holes to fill too. We filled some of them. Their base is still out there. Me being a season ticket holder, if you want to piss season ticket holders off and run DJ LeMahieu out there, go ahead.
Right, so this I got to ask you. What do you want to do next with your team? What do you want to do with the Yankees?
I do want to see them get a third baseman. I understand what they did at first base. They did a short-term deal with Goldschmidt because you could always move Bellinger there next year and maybe sign Kyle Tucker. That's what I'm thinking they're going to potentially do, but they have to address third base. If they want to move Jazz to second, that's all fine and dandy. He's played second before. He has a good glove. He's proved to have a good glove at third as well. He played a phenomenal third base. But he's more of a natural second baseman. And if you're going to move him there, you have to get a third baseman. You can't run LeMahieu out there and expect him to play even 100 games. Even with him being healthy, he's not going to produce. I think it's just over for him. That time has sailed. That ship has sailed. I don't know. I obviously think they're not going to go after Bregman. But there's got to be something that they got to do via trade. Maybe I'll take a look at Ha-Sung Kim from the Padres.
I think that's a nice fit for you guys.
That would be a great fit.
I heard them potentially maybe taking a flyer on Jorge Polanco. Where do you sit with that?
Polanco, 33 home runs a couple of years ago. He has some pop. His average was a little low. He had 245. A little bit injury prone as well. I wouldn't mind it because he's athletic and he can steal some bags, and he's a good defender. So I wouldn't mind it, I guess, on a short term basis. But I would prefer Kim over him, just because he's a better contact hitter, a better defender, and stays on the field as in regard to durability.
How do you feel with the outfield situation? Are you okay with maybe Dominguez starting in left field on the opening day roster, or do you want them to do more?
I'm okay with it right now. Dominguez did not play a good left field last year in the few short times that he played out there. He is a natural center fielder, but they got to play Bellinger in center. Do I think he has the ability to overcome it and be a good left fielder? Hopefully, because he seems to be a pretty good athlete. His bat's going to do most of the talking, Dominguez. So we'll see. I'm a little more concerned with the infield than I am with the outfield. Dominguez is young, and, he has a good bat, like I said. He has to shore up his left field defense because, like I said, he's a natural center fielder. They got to address their base. I just can't see them running into opening day with DJ at third base. That'll just be...
Yeah, I think your fan base is going to go crazy.
That'll just be crazy to me. Like, you can't have this much of a good offseason after losing Soto. Because right now, on a grade level, I'd give them a B- for the offseason. Because even though they had a good offseason, you still lost Soto. I'm not gonna deny the fact. All these Yankee fans out there, his defense wasn't great.
Oh, shut up about his defense.
The guy's a generational talent.
Right.
I'm not gonna take away from his offensive side of the game. I've never seen anybody approaching that bat the way Juan Soto approaches an at bat. So in that regard, if they did get a third baseman, if they do land a guy like him, I'd say A- for the offseason. Because they signed Fried, they got Williams, they got Goldschmidt. I feel like he has a little bit of juice left in the tank, Goldschmidt. But if they just address third, it'll be a very good offseason for a team that lost the third best player in baseball.
How do you feel about them maybe looking at Nolan Arenado? I know they've touched base with the Cardinals in the recent past. How do you feel there?
I didn't mind it at first. It's a money thing. In order for that to happen, I would like the Cardinals to take Marcus Stroman. Just so we're not eating so much of that deal, there's an $8 million difference in between Stroman and Arenado's contract. So that would be a pretty, some middle ground that you could work with there. I don't think the Cardinals, obviously, maybe are interested in Stroman. I don't know if Arenado wants to play in New York. I know he turned down a trade opportunity to go to Houston early in the offseason. So I'm not really too sure what the Yankees are going to do at third. I wouldn't mind an Arenado now. A couple of weeks ago, I probably would have told you no. But because we're getting closer to spring training, and it looks like it's either Orlando Cabrera or DJ LeMahieu, it's concerning to me.
Listen, I think that's a fair point. If the shoe was on the other foot, and I can only go back a couple of years, the Mets with Robinson Cano. I felt very similar to how you did. Granted, it was a little bit of a different situation. He had the PED suspension, and you didn't know what he was going to be. He was
and you got
40.
Diaz out of it, too.
Yeah, you did get Diaz out of it. But, going into the season where the Mets finally said, you know what, listen, thanks, but take a walk, almost. I would imagine you guys would want that if DJ does start the season on the roster, especially starting, produce, or like the Yankees need to address it. They need to... if he's not performing, he can't be out
there. I believe he's got 2 years left. It's not even like there's 1 year where you could just ride it out. I believe he's got 2 years left. He signed a six-year deal in 21. So that brings him to 2027. He's going to be on this roster. Yeah, it's an unmovable contract. No one's taking DJ LeMahieu.
No, absolutely not. Even
as a stopgap utility guy, to play once every 10, 15 games to cover an injury, it's not even happening. No one's going to pick this guy up. Stroman is the only contract that the Yankees can move right now that seems to be feasible because he's a pitcher. Other than that, they're not moving LeMahieu.
Yeah, no, LeMahieu, he's locked in. He's not going. The only way LeMahieu doesn't play for you is either he's hurt or you guys actually ultimately cut him.
Right.
Like I said, if it's me, I'm maybe a little spoiled with the Cohen thing. He cut Robinson Cano, didn't even think about it. You're not performing. That's it. And you want your team to have that attitude, so to speak. And you obviously want these players to perform. But if they're not, the ownership has to do something about it. You can't just say, well, all right, well, we're paying him this amount of money and play him. If he's hurting your team, he can't be on the field, especially if you're trying to contend. If you're serious and, you know, which the Yankees are, they just made the World Series. Yeah, I know. They lost Juan Soto. But their pivot, I thought, was very good. I thought they responded well to it. I think they might have overspent a little bit on Fried. I think that was a little reactionary. But regardless,
it was more years than money.
Yeah, only because of his injury history. Right. He's 31. You know, he's had some issues. So I think that could be a problem later on down the road. But you know what? We're not thinking 8 years, 9 years down the road right now. We're trying to win. We're trying to get back to the World Series. And, you know, they reacted. I don't think it was the worst overreaction ever. You know, I thought that was fairly reasonable. Again, little overpaid, little years-wise. But fine.
Yeah, because the annual salary stays under $30 million. That's why they gave him 8 years. They didn't want to go over $30 million.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't, it's 27.25 million, I think, per year.
Yeah,
I think the Yankees are hoping they give him a good 6 years out of the 8 years, and then just deal with maybe him being mediocre for the final 2 years of that deal. That's what I'm guessing. Because eight, yeah, it's a lot. He's had some forearm issues, which usually leads to an elbow issue, and like you said earlier in the show, Tommy John with a couple of guys. But, you know, I do hope that he gives us a good 6 years out of that deal.
Where are you at with the bullpen? Do you want them to add anything else?
It looks like we're going to lose Canley. I don't know if they're going to maybe re-sign Tim Hill as a lefty option, because I think they're out on Tanner Scott. Like I said, I think he wants 4 or 5 years. I don't think the Yankees are touching that. And he's also more of a closer, so Williams has that spot, so I don't think he's going to be used as a setup guy. So if we lose Canley and maybe re-sign Hill, I could see that happening. But I'm good with the bullpen. The bullpen's, it's pretty solid. And like I said, the starting pitching to me is pretty good too. But like I said, the Yankees need to just adjust their base, and I think that'll complete a pretty good offseason considering you lost the guy that you lost.
All right, so final take on it. You address third base. Who's your guy? You give me a name. Top guy at your list. Who do you want?
Right now, being realistic, I would say Ha-Sung Kim.
That could be the better of the options, yeah.
I don't think the Yankees want to get involved with Arenado. He's 33. It's an age thing. They saw what happened with Josh Donaldson. You know, even though there was a four-year difference there, Donaldson was 37 at the time. But Arenado's making big money, and he had an off year.
Yeah.
And the Yankees may not want to get involved with the age and the money.
Well, what I like about Arenado with you guys is he addresses two pieces, obviously. He shows up third base, but defensively he shows up third base. And your infield defense needs some work. You know, you need to show up there, and to have a guy like Arenado who still plays third base at a high level, to have him there, I think would be great for you guys. But I also kind of agree with you on the years left, how he looked last season. Now, is that him really breaking down this way, or was he kind of just maybe on a bad team that it just, right, it wasn't working?
And Bregman being out there is still crazy to me. Maybe they could work something out, like with a, you know, bunch of opt-outs, 3 years opt-out every year.
I think,
like,
that's possible.
A four-year deal with an opt-out after three. I don't know what the money would be. He may want $30 million. I know the Yankees aren't going to probably do that.
I don't think so either.
Maybe like 22 to 24 the Yankees would sit at. But it'd be interesting because he's still out there.
Bregman, I really don't see him anywhere outside of Detroit or Boston. I think he's
a nice fit. I actually said Boston at the start of the offseason. He would be great there. He's got
really
great numbers
would.
At Fenway.
And I know you don't want to say that, and you don't even want to think about Bregman being there, but realistically,
no, but as a baseball,
it's a possibility.
You know, baseball fan, it makes 100% sense. He could do damage with the Green Monster. He'll be hitting doubles and singles off that wall all day. He's got great numbers there. Look at his numbers. He's
hitting over 350. And he plays a good third base. You know, and that, you know, they move Devers either the first or DH. You know, that could be a dangerous situation for you guys. It's just another pesky lineup you don't want to deal with in your division. I think, you know, I think your division is hard enough outside the NL West. I really do.
Yeah, the AL is definitely way more wide open.
Yeah, it's wide
NL,
open.
You've got your divisions that are kind of set. Like I said, the NL Central is the only one you don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I think I think the AL is definitely a little more wide open, but I also think it runs through the East. You know, I think that's where the most strength is. I think that's where the teams have improved the most so far. But, you know, listen,
I don't want to sleep on the Diamondbacks. They got some good pitching.
They do, but they got to deal with the Dodgers and the Giants, who got better. You know, you got two teams over there that definitely significantly got better. You don't even
have to focus on winning the division anymore. All you got to do is just get in as a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, listen, those are options. I mean, we'll see how this season plays out. And listen, there's still a lot of offseason to go. Yep. We have a lot of free agents that, you know, just about a lot of the big names bullpen-wise are still out there. You still got two big bats that are out there, three big bats that are out there. I mean, you know, we still got a ways to go before we, you know, could really start predicting anything. I mean, realistically right now, I mean, I'm happy with what the Mets are doing. I'm extremely frustrated with Alonso and this whole situation. Just get this over with. Get this done. Rip the Band-Aid off. Figure it out. Both sides. Let's figure this out. Let's get it over with. Get it done, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, I know this goes both ways, you know, fans are mad at him, fans are mad at the organization. I'm a little disappointed with him. Yeah, that's kind of where I
don't think the Mets fans should be upset at the organization. Like I said earlier in the show, they did everything they could to try to retain him. He keeps saying no. At what point do you draw a line in the sand and say, hey, listen, we did everything we could. We put our best foot forward, offered you 7 for $158. 3 for $70. You came back with 3 for $90. We renegotiated that. It came back with that $70 million deal. He said no again. Pete, at this point, do you really think you're worth $35+ million? No. And sometimes these guys need to be really sat down and they have to understand their markets, and they have to understand the first base market is not. Look at Christian Walker. Yeah, he's 33. He's a little bit older than Alonso, but he got $20 million, and he is a defensive wizard at first base.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good hitter. You know, has the same type of power as Alonso and hits for average. And he got $20 million. And he's going to do damage in Houston.
Yes.
With that short porch and left. He's going to hit pop-ups for home runs. Over yeah. There. So he could hit 20 home runs at home.
Yeah, he could.
So Alonso has to realize there was other first basemen out there that signed quicker for less money. Because I thought for sure he was going to sign for at least $25 million a year, and he got 20. So Pete has to see that the market is shaping up to be a certain way. And like I said, it's a Boris effect. He makes you feel like, no, you're worth this. Don't let other teams tell you what you're worth. We're going to get what you're worth. And it happens usually every year with these Boris clients.
Yeah, and, you know, again, the baseball fan is frustrating because we want to start predicting. We want to start getting the offseason situated and done with and over with. Pitchers and catchers are, what, about a month away?
Yeah.
Not even, you know.
Mid-February.
You know, the reliever aspect of the offseason, I could see that drags out maybe a little more. I mean, you know, listen, it seems to be some relievers are a dime a dozen. I know.
Right.
It's a lot of hit and miss, and it's a lot of.
Yeah, you want to get those position players signed.
You know? Yeah, you want to get these guys, you know, in training camp. You want to get this all situated. I mean, I've seen videos. I know he's working out in the DR.
Of course.
I'm sure a lot of players around the league, I'm sure they're still staying fresh and everything. But you want to get everything acclimated. Alonso returning to the Mets won't be a big of an acclimation that needs to be made. But, you know, if he ends up somewhere else, you know, he's got to fit into the clubhouse, get to know all these guys. It's just, it's slowing down the process, you know, and it slows him down. It's just more distraction.
Right.
It's bad for baseball. You know, everyone wants to talk about the Dodgers signing all these guys and all the deferred money and all this. No, the bigger issue is these free agents. They need to be signed. You know, this overvaluation of these guys, you know, take a look in the mirror. See who you are, you know, and things need to get done. I think that's what's bad for baseball. Not teams spending money. It's teams not spending money, and it's these guys that, you know, they're holding out for things that don't exist.
Because it's true, and that's a good point. And even last year with Snell and Montgomery, they got their money on the annual average side. They got the $30 million,
yeah.
Montgomery got 25 for one. They just didn't get the years, and that's basically what it came down to. These teams don't want to give 6, 7, 8 year contracts to guys that aren't really worth it. You know, Montgomery wasn't going to get 5, 6 years for $180 million. He had to realize that. So some of these guys just need to realize the market. They need to really sit down and understand the market and not convince themselves that, oh, I'm going to get $30 million from somebody. No, it's not going to be that way.
Yeah, it's not that simple. And, you know, there's still a lot of things that need to be done. You know, Luis Castillo, he's been thrown out in a lot of trade rumors and things like that. So we still got we're a ways to go before this is all over. Before we go, yes or no, is Pete Alonso a Met next season?
I really want to say yes, but for some reason, I think it's not going to happen. I'm going to say no. I say Pete signs elsewhere.
You know what? I'm unfortunately agreeing with you. I don't want to. I really don't. I would love for Pete to be back, but I agree with you, and I think this is going to be another, you know, I mean, we just saw it. You know, the Mets retired Darryl Strawberry's number this year, and you saw it. He said it to the fans. He apologized for leaving.
I saw that.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I said earlier, I brought up Jose Reyes. I think it's just another unfortunate situation. You know, it's almost like another stain with the Mets franchise. And I know we're trying to get past all this, you know, everything that's gone on with this team over the last, you know, 20 years, so to speak. But, you know, it's just, you don't want this, especially where you just made a huge splash. You just got Juan Soto and you took him away from the Yankees. You made such a bold move, and for this to be going on in the same offseason, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I don't see it now. I'm trying to be optimistic, but I don't see it.
So now let me ask you before we sign off, you being a Met fan looking on the outside, do the Yankees address third base before pitchers and catchers report in a month?
Yes, because I think Bregman is going to end up signing with Boston, and I think that's going to put more pressure on the Yankees to make a move, and something is going to happen. But I don't think they should wait. You know, if Ha-Seon Kim is the guy, go get him. Go get him. I think he's a good fit for you guys. He could play multiple positions. Go get him. I don't know how much more they want to spend, but if that's the guy, do it. And I think if Boston signs Bregman, that's just going to put more pressure on you guys to do it.
I agree. All right, so that wraps up episode 1, Diamond Discussions Podcast. This is your host, Joe Stumpo, and Mike Caliendo. Please follow us on our Instagram, Diamond Discussions 25, and we'll be letting you guys know when other episodes are going to be dropping. And we appreciate the listen and the follow, and have a good night, guys. Signing off.